weekend of fire at the end of June. So we're believing God for a tremendous weekend of supernatural outpouring from God's Holy Spirit. Let's join together as we pray this simple prayer that we're praying every time. Let's join in prayer. Pray this out loud with me. Dear Holy Spirit, I need you in my life. I want to know you better. Show me who you are. I need your help in my home, my family, my relationships, and in my church. Please fill me with all the power and all the gifts that you have. Make me more like Jesus. Amen. Now, the message today is the pattern of Pentecost. The pattern of Pentecost. And I just found out this morning, I didn't know this, that today on the Jewish calendar is the day of Pentecost. How cool is that? I wish I could say we planned it that way, but we didn't. I want to talk about today what this Pentecost term means, what it means to be Pentecostal, and all of the definitions that come with that. How many know there's a cultural definition of what it means to be Pentecostal? There is a historical definition of Pentecostalism, okay? And there's a denominational definition that goes along with being Pentecostal. So if by being Pentecostal you think we're saying that we don't want women to wear pants, or the Holy Spirit doesn't want them to wear makeup, is there anybody that would testify that makeup's a good thing? Bunch of chickens right over there is what I'm saying. Right? Or if we're saying that the Holy Spirit wants women to wear their hair in a bun, which, by the way, in my opinion, is bundage. Don't shake your head at me. I see you. We have a lot of things that come to mind when we think of that word Pentecostal. So if you mean, do I believe in the work and the person of the Holy Spirit? Do I believe in Acts chapter 2, the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost? I'm not talking about a denomination or a legalistic way of living, but I'm talking about what it means to be biblically Pentecostal. Then yes, right? And if in order for us to fully experience and understand and have faith, which is more important, to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand Pentecost. We need to understand what happened on the day of Pentecost, why it happened, and that's our goal today. So let's start with Acts chapter 2, verse 1. This is the scripture that describes what happened on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, now mark that because we're going to come back to that in a minute. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. Now I want you to notice the unity that they had there. One accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, later we're going to find that it was so loud that everybody heard it and came running together. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Some folks have said that a better translation of that is individual tongues. Everybody say individual. And one sat upon each of them. Now, how many of them were there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? Well, Acts chapter 1 tells us there was 120 of them there in the upper room. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Now, that word tongues there is glossa or glossolalia, where we get the term glossary. Okay? We're talking about language. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So let's begin with this question. What is Pentecost? If today is the day of Pentecost, what is Pentecost? Well, Pentecost is one of the three major feasts of the Jews that God instituted in the Old Testament. There are seven holy days or holidays in the Jewish calendar. The first four feasts occur in the spring, the last three in the fall. So three times a year, all of the children of Israel would go to Jerusalem for one of these feasts. How many have never heard of the seven feasts of Israel before? Okay, I should ask the opposite question. How many have actually heard of this before? Okay. All right, so we're going to take some time and talk about what all of these means. Now, all of these feasts are a picture foreshadowing Jesus. And today what we're going to do is I want to show you how Jesus fulfills all of these feasts, because we need to know that so we can understand Pentecost more fully. Now, all of these feasts are outlined in Leviticus 23. Leviticus may be the most exciting book in the entire Bible. Matter of fact, some theologians say Leviticus 23 is the embodiment of the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard one person say that Leviticus 23 is the most prophetic chapter in the entire Bible. When's the last time you read Leviticus 23? Well, all of these feasts are there, so let's talk about them, and then we're going to receive communion in just a few minutes, and then we're going to receive an offering in a few minutes, all as part of the message, okay? So, the first feast that the Jews celebrated was the Feast of Passover. Everybody say Passover. Now, in Leviticus 23, verse 5, the Bible says, "These are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month." Now, how many of you remember the movie, The Ten Commandments? You know, Charlton Heston. Some of you are going to get to heaven. When we look for Moses, we're going to be looking for Charlton Heston. Well, remember, the Bible says that there was an angel of death that came to Egypt that was going to kill all of the firstborn. It was the last of the ten plagues, right? And God commanded them, he said, you need to take the blood of a perfect lamb, take the blood and put it over the doorposts of your house. And when the angel of death comes to your house, it will pass over you, right? And so that happened on that particular night where the firstborn of Israel was saved. And so for hundreds of years, thousands of years, after the original Passover, every year Jewish moms and dads would do this ceremony and celebrate Passover. What they would do is they would take a lamb and they would kill it, sacrifice it, and do all of these rituals, okay? Now, what was Passover pointing to? Passover was pointing to Jesus. How did Jesus fulfill Passover? How many know Jesus was the Passover lamb, right? Now, Jewish moms and dads, at 9 in the morning, the Jewish father would take a lamb, a perfect lamb, and would cut its throat, and his blood would be spilled. Did you know that Jesus died on the actual calendar date of Passover? And at 9 in the morning, his hands and feet were nailed to a cross. For hundreds and even thousands of years, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the day of Passover, Jewish dads would take that lamb and put it in an oven. But 3 o'clock after Jesus has died, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they took Jesus' body down from the cross and they put him in the tomb. Jesus fulfilled every detail of Passover. How many are with me? Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And in John 1:36, John the Baptist said it as clear as day, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Our ushers are going to come now, and we're going to gather around the Lord's table. Ushers, if you would go ahead and distribute the elements. I want you to understand, we're just touching on this very quickly, that Jesus fulfilled every detail of Passover. Because when I put my faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the spirit of death will also pass over me. Spiritual death, right? The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from some of my sin. No, it says all of my sin. You see, Jesus is the Passover lamb. When he died for my sin. There's nothing that could save me from the angel of death except the blood of a perfect, spotless lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ. Years later, on Passover, on the night of Passover, the scripture says that Jesus was to be betrayed. He took bread and he took a cup. And he said, he was basically showing them, "Guys, I'm the Passover lamb. I'm fulfilling this right before your very eyes." And he said, "As often as you do it, you eat this bread and drink this cup." He said, "You do so in remembrance of me." Gentlemen, go ahead and serve the elements. We're going to worship the Lord. Everybody hold on to the elements until all have been served, and we will take them together. At our church, we practice open communion. If you're a part of the body of Christ, we invite you to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us. Hold on to those elements until all have been received. Above all kingdoms.
treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're
was betrayed. He took the bread, and the Bible says he broke it. And what he was doing, he was showing to them an illustrated sermon. He says, I'm about to be broken for you. If you've ever doubted the fact that Jesus loves you, this bread proves to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that nobody loves you more than the one who created you. The one who knows every hair on your head, every detail of your life. Would you hold that bread in your hand, and would you give God thanks for the Passover Lamb of God who was broken for us? Lord, thank you for this bread. Thank you that it represents ultimate love, ultimate sacrifice, the body of Jesus Christ. We receive it today with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, receive the bread together. The same night he took the cup, he gave it to his disciples and said, this is the blood of the new covenant. And this blood represents the blood of that spotless lamb of Passover thousands of years ago. This blood represents the blood of Jesus. That doesn't just save firstborn Israelites from the angel of death. It saves us from eternal destruction. Would you hold that cup in your hand, and would you give God thanks for forgiveness of sins? Lord, thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Passover Lamb. And that when you see the blood of Jesus applied to our hearts, the spirit of death will too pass over us. Thank you that this is our guarantee of salvation. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Receive the cup together. Thank you, God. Sing the chorus one more time.
Crucified and laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took it far and thought of me.
How many of you would agree that Jesus fulfilled all the details of Passover? the second feast that the Jews celebrated was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was also part of the Feast of Passover. In Leviticus 23, verse 6, on the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread without yeast or leaven. So this feast was to begin the day following Passover and would last about 7 days. Now, why were they commanded to eat unleavened bread? Well, in the Old Testament, leaven was a symbol of sin or a symbol of evil, right? And so they would eat unleavened bread. Now, Jesus fulfilled this. Remember, Jesus was crucified on what day? We just covered this 2 minutes ago. Jesus was crucified on Passover. Okay, so but he was buried in the tomb during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But how many know there would be no decomposition of his flesh because there was no sin. There was no leaven in him. The scripture said, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Acts 2 verse 31, he says that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Jesus was the unleavened bread. Jesus was without sin. He was holy, did not sin even one time. And so as a result, sin had no power over him in the grave, and he is holy. Somebody say amen. Amen. So Jesus was the fulfillment of unleavened bread. Right? And so that takes us to the next feast, which is the Feast of First Fruits. Now, the Feast of First Fruits was also part of the bigger Feast of Passover. But in Leviticus 23, chapter 23, verse 10, the Lord says to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. Okay? Now watch this. The third feast was part of the 7 days of unleavened bread. 2 days after Passover. The day after the Sabbath, after Passover. Watch this. So, in the Old Testament, the first crop was planted in the winter. Remember, this is a spring feast. And by the way, remember that Israel doesn't follow the same agricultural calendar that we do in our hemisphere. It's on the other side of the world. We don't have time to talk about the science of that, do we? So, the Bible says, in the spring, when the crop is beginning to ripen, the first fruit is cut and carefully and meticulously presented to the Lord. And then they were going to go get the rest of the harvest. Okay? Now, I want you to know, they brought the first fruit to God. They would go to the field, cut down the wheat or the barley, and they would bring the first fruit to the Lord. Then they'd go back and finish the rest of the work. How many are with me so far? This was their tithe, right? Their first fruits. Now, the Lord's acceptance of this tithe is in earnest. How many have heard of earnest money? Is in earnest or a pledge on his part to the people of Israel that there was going to be a full harvest. In other words, God says, if you give me the first, you can trust me for the rest. I'm preaching better than you're amening. Now listen, God was saying your first fruit will not be your last fruit. Right? How many know that takes faith? It takes faith to serve Jesus. It takes faith to tithe. It takes faith to trust God to meet all of your needs. That's why it's called the Feast of First Fruits. Now, guess what feast the Jews were celebrating when Jesus was resurrected from the dead? It was the day or the Feast of First Fruits. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says, now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have died and resurrected to never die again. Right? So listen, Jesus has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. I want you to get something here real deep, but so simple. Jesus was God's tithe. What do you mean? Jesus was God's first fruit, and because of Jesus resurrected, he's the first fruits from being resurrected from the dead. And because he's resurrected from the dead, the first fruits, He's the guarantee, the earnest money that I will be too. You ought to give the Lord praise for that. Isn't that awesome? That's exciting. Why did Jesus rise from the dead on the exact day of the Feast of First Fruits? Because Jesus was the fulfillment of that first fruits. Right? He is the guarantee for us. So we're going to receive our offering now, and we're going to give God our first fruits. We're going to give God our tithe and offering. You see, Pastor, why are we doing that? Because so many times when we come to church, people forget why we do what we do. We think, oh, it's about money or it's about this. No, it's really not about that at all. It's about putting God first in our lives and recognizing who Jesus is, the first fruits. Good preaching, Pastor Wayne. Matter of fact, the Bible says they would take the first fruit, and did you read what they did with it? They would wave it. So why don't you take that first fruit in your hand? I'm serious. Take it in your hand. Why don't you start waving it before the Lord? Well, you look good doing it. Some of you got nothing to wave. I'd wave my hand or something. I'd find some lint or something. I'd wave it. Amen. Wave it before the Lord. Now, I waved mine in the first service. I just want you to know, okay? Just wave. You guys look awesome. Would you give God thanks for your first fruits, Lord? Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He's the first fruits from the dead. And thank you, oh God, that because He rose from the dead, we will too. In Adam we all die, but in Christ we're all made alive. Thank you, O God, that the first redeems the rest. Thank you, O God, for the privilege of following this pattern and giving you the first fruits. And Lord, we're believing today and we have faith that as we give you the first, you're going to guarantee a full harvest for the rest. We're standing on your word today that needs will be met, doors will be opened, miracles will take place. Let today be a day for the law of first fruits is seen and the fulfillment of it is seen before our very eyes. Meet needs, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a fire that cannot be quenched, and there's a love for you, Jesus, as strong as death. So hear us, Lord, hear the longing of our hearts. We want to be where you are, not far apart. Presence all around us, oh Lord, we want to see your face, so take us away.
Prayer and breathe on us until you come. Sing it again.
And breathe on us
until you come.
Until you come.
One more time. Breathe on us, God.
And breathe.
Breathe on us, Holy Spirit.
On us.
until you come.
Until you come.
Now, how many can see that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these feasts so far? Jesus fulfilled Passover. Jesus fulfilled unleavened bread. Jesus fulfilled first fruits. Okay? You say, Pastor, why does God give us all of these elaborate pictures just so we'll get it? Right? So that takes us to the next feast, which is the Feast of Pentecost. Okay? That's the next feast on the calendar. And it's found in Leviticus 23, verse 15. The scripture says, from the day after the Sabbath. Say, after the Sabbath. Now that's important because we're going to count 50 days from the day after the Sabbath in just a moment. The day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath. And then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. Okay? So what were they celebrating when the Jews for hundreds and thousands of years, when they would observe the Feast of Pentecost 50 days after the Sabbath, after the Passover? What they were doing, they were celebrating the giving of the law or the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. How many remember that story in Exodus 19? Okay? If you don't remember the story, there was cloud and there was fire and there was smoke and they were scared to death. It's no wonder people are afraid of Pentecost, right? There was all these things, and it was an amazing thing. So 50 days after the Sabbath, after the Passover, the children of Israel gather around Mount Sinai, and God gives them the law. And so after that, they would celebrate the giving of the law on Pentecost. Okay? So the fire came, the cloud came down, and God gave the law. So Pentecost is a celebration of the giving of the law. So Acts chapter 2 comes and says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, have you ever wondered why it says that? When the day of Pentecost had fully come. I didn't know it could partially come or anything like that. Look, here's the deal. Because Pentecost was actually, not just actually 50 days after Passover. Pentecost was 50 days after the Sabbath, after Passover. I'm going slow. Okay? Some of you are working math skills you haven't worked in your head in some time. Jesus died on Passover. This is the third time we've covered this in one service. Okay? Jesus died on Passover. Okay? The day after Passover was the Sabbath. Jesus rose from the dead on the day after the Sabbath, after the... Even the kids on the front can get this. Thank you very much, Elijah. Awesome. So God says, count 50 days after the day after the Sabbath, after the Passover, and that's the day of Pentecost. Okay? Now, that is the day Jesus was resurrected from the dead. How did God know? Thousands of years before Jesus even was born, or died, or rose from the dead, that they were going to have to count 50 days, not from Passover, but the day after the Sabbath, after the Passover. Sounds like all along God had a plan. Sounds like God knows what He's doing. So when the Bible says God's a God of order, you can count on it. When the Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, you can count on it. When the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man, a righteous woman are ordered of the Lord, He knows what He's talking about. And when the world's going crazy and everybody's biting their nails like, oh, I don't know what's going on. These feasts remind us God is in control. God knows what He's doing. Give Him praise if you believe that today. So Jesus was on the earth after His resurrection for 40 days. 40. Everybody say 40. And so Jesus gives His disciples instruction during these 40 days. He says, don't depart from Jerusalem until you've received the promise of the Father. Okay? So Jesus on the earth 40 days. Then they go to Jerusalem obeying what Jesus said, and they're in the upper room for 10 days. 40 plus is 50. Okay? Okay? Now some of you are thinking, why didn't we have 40 days for fire? Those are all F's too. No, it's biblical. 50. Now how many know the number 10 in the Bible represents testing? Right? There were 10 plagues of Egypt. There were 10 commandments. Daniel was tested 10 days. We're to give a tenth of our income to the Lord. Anybody know that's a test? Right? And so, 10 days of testing before the Holy Spirit comes. What was happening to these people in the upper room as they were praying? They were being tested before the Holy Spirit comes. By the way, do you think that the Holy Spirit might be testing us right now as we are preparing to receive this baptism in the Holy Spirit? Anybody else sense some spiritual static going on in your life? Anybody else sense some resistance going on as we have tried to push in and develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit? It may just be our time of testing. So, here in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost had fully come on the exact day it was supposed to. Does everybody see that? It came on the exact day it was supposed to. So guess what? If it came on the exact day it was supposed to, it came in the exact way it was supposed to. Right? So what happened at Pentecost? How was it fulfilled? How did God fulfill the day of Pentecost? Well, we have to go back to Acts chapter 2, our text that we started with. They were all in one accord in one place. Sound of a rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues of fire, individual tongues of fire setting on their head. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. It's not how I fulfilled it, it's how God fulfilled it. Okay? And so we'll pick it up at verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Have you ever seen that before? Now, in a few verses after that, the scripture lists a lot of nations and nationalities that you can't pronounce. And there are 15 of them. But the Bible says that they named 15, but the Bible says every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together amazed and confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Now, that meant in that culture, that meant they were uneducated. That meant that, hey, these guys aren't smart enough to be bilingual. Okay, they only know their only Galilean language. Okay, so I'm not going to pick on anybody here. You just have your association, the modern day translation of that. Okay, that was totally lost. We keep going down. He names all of these nations. Verse 11. And here's what he says. We hear them speaking in our own languages. This is what the people who gathered said. We hear them speaking in our own languages. What are they speaking? The wonderful works of God. The Holy Spirit's poured out. It's manifested through this incredible deal of speaking in tongues. And the Bible says all of these nations come together and they're hearing this language in their own tongue. And what they're hearing is all of the nations glorifying God. Are you with me? Okay. So they began speaking in one language, a heavenly language, but the other nationalities could understand the language in their own language. And the Bible says when they came together, they were amazed about this and confused. Does anybody remember a story that's the exact opposite of this? The Tower of Babel. In Genesis 11, remember, the story of the people had come together with wrong motives, right? These people in Babel came together in rebellion and pride. But how many know on the day of Pentecost, they came to the upper room in submission and humility. The people of Babel came together. God confused their language and scattered them through the whole earth. Right? But on the day of Pentecost, God brings every nation back. And they heard one language in their own tongue, glorifying the God of heaven. Is that not a picture of heaven? Where the Bible says every tribe, every nation, every tongue, worshiping God in one language. Write this down. Pentecost is the blessed reversal of the cursed judgment of Babel. Pentecost is the blessed reversal of the cursed judgment of Babel. God reverses the curse. Instead of scattering the nations abroad, Pentecost brings the nations together. Instead of scattering people to different parts of the world, Pentecost brings the people of God together. If there's ever a group of folks that ought to be unified with one heart, one mind, one spirit, it's the Spirit-filled people of God. Somebody say amen. Now watch this. The original Pentecost in the Old Testament, they gather at the mountain. What? The cloud descends. There's a loud noise and fire. 3,000 people die when the law is given. And God's law is written on tablets of stone. On the fulfillment of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends. There was a loud noise and some fire. And 3,000 people get saved. And God writes His law on tablets of flesh. Let me help you. What Pentecost is. Here's what Pentecost is. Pentecost is empowerment to walk righteously on this earth. Write that down. Pentecost is empowerment to walk righteously on this earth. How many know Jesus came to make us righteous? What can wash away my sin? The song we say, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit empowers us to live righteously. The blood makes me right before God. The Spirit gives me power to stay there. Come on, somebody. How many know when the law was given to the children of Israel, they couldn't even keep it? They had no power to keep it. Remember Moses? We remember Moses coming down from the mountain and smashing the Ten Commandments on the ground. He's the only person that broke all the commandments at one time. But how many know the children of Israel broke the commandments even before Moses got down from the mountain? God was writing on the tablet, do not commit adultery. And they were already down there doing it. Already breaking the commandments. They couldn't keep the law. How many know the Spirit empowers us not to be perfect or to be righteous, but to keep us, empower us to live righteous in an unrighteous generation? How many know you can't live righteously without the power of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need Pentecost? So that we can keep the law, so that we can be righteous and stay righteous before a living God. Amen. By the way, the Ten Commandments, are they really that hard? Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't covet, put God first. You know, when we think about it, it's not really that hard, but you know, without the power of the Holy Spirit, they are hard. So what happened on Pentecost was the fulfillment of the giving of God's law written on our hearts instead of stone. Do you see that? So here's the last question. Can I experience Pentecost? Can I experience Pentecost? You say, well, Pastor, that was 2,000 years ago. That was then. This is now. I wasn't alive back then. Well, look, let's go back to Acts chapter 2 to answer this question. Verse 3, there appeared to them individual tongues, divided tongues. We said individual tongues as a fire. And one, everybody say one. One sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. So, what the Bible says, if you were there on the day of Pentecost, you would see a tongue of fire over my head. You wouldn't see an Arby sign. You would see it. You would see a tongue of fire over my head. Now, I would see a tongue of fire over your head. And I'd say, dude, you got a tongue of fire on your head. And he would say, dude, you got a tongue of fire on your head. But how many know? You know, what that means is, the Bible says it sat upon each of them. That means the baptism of the Spirit of God wasn't just for the apostles. It was for all 120 of them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, men and women, and just the regular old followers of Jesus. How many know this baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just for the people on the platform? It's for all the people of God. The whole family of God. So, listen, they could see each other and they could see the tongue of fire on their head. But I doubt, I mean, you've seen the pictures. I mean, you probably couldn't see the tongue on your own head, tongue of fire. You know, you're like, you can see it on somebody else's head. You can see it on their head. You know, you just go, that's how I see it. You ever thought about that? Now listen, you know what that tells me? That tells me that you have to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. Right? You see other dudes, tongues of fire on their head. You see them filled with the Spirit. You see other dudes over here, tongues of fire on their head, they're filled with the Spirit. But how do I know? I receive by faith. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. That's a big word. We're going to come back to it in a minute. The promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So here's Jesus inside that 40-day window after he's resurrected. He says, guys, you don't exactly know what's happening here, but I'm fulfilling all of these Old Testament feasts. So I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. And Jesus said what the promise was, didn't he? He said, the promise is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what Jesus easily could have said, it's going to be 50 days after the Sabbath, after the Passover, which is about 10 days from now. Okay, but he didn't say that. So, Acts chapter 2, listen, the Holy Spirit fulfills the promise on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out, and what happens? We see all of these people speaking the wonderful works of God. Peter stands up to preach a message, and he preaches an awesome message. It's so good. Here's what they said. They said, what do we have to do to be saved? What are we supposed to do? And I think maybe what they were asking was, Peter, we saw you before these teenagers, you know, cowering in fear. We saw you a few days ago cursing God. Something's different about you. What do we have to do to get what you have? Here's what Peter said, Acts 2, verse 37. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here's what Peter said. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promise. Same promise Jesus said a few days before. I want you to see what Peter is thinking. Peter understood what happened today. Jesus promised a few days ago. The promise is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. How many see a pattern? How many see a God of details? How many see a God who has everything in line and ready for us to believe? Somebody say amen. Peter says, if you want to be like me, if you want to be like Jesus, then you have to repent. I mean, no, the Holy Spirit is with everybody, drawing them to Jesus. So I repent, I give my life to Christ, I get baptized. The Holy Spirit is in all Christ's followers. But Peter has said, there's one more dimension. And, everybody say, and, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now Peter didn't say, repent, get baptized, and if you choose to go to a Pentecostal church, or if you're more comfortable, more emotional like that, or more whatever like that, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. No, he didn't say and or, and maybe. He said, this is that, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It looks like a pattern to me. The expected and normal pattern of all New Testament believers. Peter said, this promise, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, is for you. It's not just for you, and it's not even just for now. It's for your children. And for all who are far off. I really don't get where the people who preach cessationism get it. He said, Peter, it's for you, it's for your children, and for all who are far off. How many know when he said afar off, he was a direct reference to Wayne Murray? The direct reference to you. This promise is for all of us. Can I experience Pentecost? Can I experience Pentecost? Yes. Well, Pastor, I can't experience it. That was a one-time thing. Well, first of all, it wasn't a one-time thing. It happened in Acts chapter 8. It happened again in Acts chapter 9. Happened again in Acts chapter 10. Happened again in Acts chapter 19. It wasn't a one-time thing, right? Well, Pastor, this happened 2,000 years ago. I can't experience that. That was then, this is now. Well, let me ask you a question. Can you be saved? Your salvation was purchased 2,000 years ago. How many know Jesus opened the door? That was the beginning of the opportunity for folks to find Jesus. I'm glad that I didn't have to be alive then to receive the gift of salvation. I'm glad that the door is open for me and you right now. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, it's the same thing with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts chapter 2, it was the initial outpouring, not the last one. It was the first one. The first of many. Because how many know the Holy Spirit is still here? And we are the people Peter was talking about. You and your children and all who are far off. Can you receive Jesus? Do you need to receive Jesus? Can you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you need to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Now let's go back to the feasts. And then we're going to pray. Now remember, there are three feasts left in the fall. The first four that we talked about are the spring feasts. The last feast in the fall all take place under the heading of the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, so the third time the people of Israel would come back to Jerusalem. They would celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And there were three feasts that they celebrated. The first one was the Feast of Trumpets. Now, in the Old Testament, the first fall feast was called Rosh Hashanah. That's what modern Jews call it, Rosh Hashanah. And what it was the blowing of the shofar, or the trumpet of God. And in the Old Testament, the priests would blow the shofar. And when they heard the sound, everybody was to appear before the presence of God. So they would blow the shofar, and that was the signal, everybody come, to appear before the Lord. How many know the Feast of Trumpets has not yet been fulfilled? Paul describes how it will be fulfilled, though, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. The Feast of Trumpets has yet to be fulfilled. But how many know one day, maybe today, that trumpet will sound and we will all appear before the presence of God. The sixth feast is the Day of Atonement. In the Old Testament, this was the Day of Judgment. This was when everybody would come and God would judge their sin. They would take their sins and the priest would confess it, lay hands on a scapegoat, a literal goat, and they would confess all their sins. This dude's a liar. This dude's an adulterer. This dude hates people. He doesn't forgive. You know, and they would confess over that goat and they would send it out and God was judging somebody else. Again, a picture of Jesus. Right? How many know after the rapture, the Bible speaks of a time of judgment on the earth? Have you read the book of Revelation lately? Time of judgment. And out of that judgment, God will save Israel. The seventh feast is the best one. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jews call it Sukkot. The people of God were commanded to dwell in tabernacles to remind them of their days in the wilderness when the Lord guided them and the Lord provided for their every need. And how many know that represents the coming of Christ to tabernacle with the people of God? Look at Revelation 21. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. We long for the day when the Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled. When God will take the new heaven and the new earth, the new heaven will descend, and it will literally be heaven on earth. And God will walk with you and me. And there will be no more death, no more wars, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more grief. We long for the day when the Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled by Jesus. Now, Passover. How many agree Jesus completely fulfilled Passover? Right? The blood of the Lamb was shed. That was Jesus. Tabernacles. Not yet been fulfilled, right? Anybody here believe Jesus is going to fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles? By the way, did you know Passover was fulfilled in one day for Jesus? Tabernacles will be fulfilled in one day. The Bible refers to the day of the Lord. There's a day coming when a trumpet will sound. And after that will be judgment. If you're not ready for that day, my prayers today is that you will make it right with God right now. Today. You're living on borrowed time if you don't have a relationship with God. And today is your day to make it right with God. I pray that before you leave this room, you say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I want to be ready. I want to serve you, God. I'm not talking about playing a game. I'm talking about making a very honest, real decision. God, I want to be part of your family. I want to be who you are. And I want to be a follower of Jesus. Matter of fact, bow your head, close your eyes. We can't let this moment pass. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I need to make it right with God today. I see all of these details in the Bible, and I am reminded one more time, God knows what He's doing. And this is true. And Jesus is coming, but I'm not ready. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not ready for the return of Jesus, but I want to be ready. Today I'm ready to give my life to Christ. I want you to put your hand up right now. Put it up, put it up, put it up. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Hands are up all over this room. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you. Come on, put it up, put it up, put it up. God bless you, God bless you. Hold it up for just a few more moments. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hold it up for just a few more moments. God's Spirit is speaking to you. Thank you for raising your hand. Everybody that raised your hand, pray this prayer with me. And all the believers that want to agree with them, pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for the truth. Thank you for bringing me to church today. I know it's because you love me. I'm not ready. I've broken your laws. I've lied. I've cheated. I've stolen. I'm guilty. I know the only way I'll be saved is for the blood of Jesus to cover me, to pass over my sins. Make me a new person. Holy Spirit, come to live inside me. Today I choose to be a follower of Jesus because He is the Passover Lamb. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you that raised your hand, right after their service today, I'm going to ask these pastors to come and right after the service, you come talk to them. Today's the day to get right with God. Amen? Now, as a believer, can you experience the fulfillment of Passover? Can you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, to forgive you of your sins? Can you do that? Now, as a believer, will you experience the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles? Absolutely. It's our only hope, right? The promise of heaven. then why can't we experience the fulfillment of Pentecost? Well, Pastor, I like how Jesus fulfilled Passover. That's pretty cool. I mean, 3:09 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. That's pretty cool stuff. I like this prophecy and tabernacles and trumpets. That's cool stuff, too. I'm counting on it. I'm just not real comfortable with how he fulfilled Pentecost. Do not take it up with me. Do not take it up with this church or a particular denomination or whatever. You take it up with, this is how he fulfilled Pentecost. And this is what he wants for us. For all of his followers. To walk in the power, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? To give us power to fulfill everything that he's called us to do. Somebody say amen. Stand to your feet if you would. I'm going to ask you to again bow your head, close your eyes. If you're here, and I'm talking to everybody, 1,000% of you, if you say, Pastor, I get it. I get it. This is God's plan. I get it. God has detailed this plan for me to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I may not understand all the details. I may not understand everything about it, but I get it. God loves me, and this Holy Spirit wants to fill me, to give me power to live for God. You know what? And I'm not even sure what it all means, but I trust God. I trust the Holy Spirit, and today I surrender. I surrender my fear. I surrender my doubt. I surrender anything, and I just surrender to the Holy Spirit. If that's you, lift both your hands to heaven. Come on, lift both your hands to heaven. And just say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I surrender to everything. I surrender to everything you have for me. Come on. I surrender. I surrender, Holy Spirit. I surrender to everything that you have for me. Holy Spirit, fulfill the day of Pentecost in my life. Let me have my own Pentecost. Begin to ask for your own Pentecost. Holy Spirit, I want to experience everything that you have for me. I want your power. I want your joy. I want your anointing. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with supernatural power from heaven. Thank you, God. And breathe on us until you come. Breathe on us, Lord,
on us
until you come. Breathe on us, Lord,
on us
until you come. Breathe on us, God. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit.
Breathe on us till you come.
We are not even halfway. We're just approaching the halfway point of 50 days for fire. And all we've been doing so far is laying a foundation. Laying a foundation. You do not want to miss the rest of this. Because God's just going to continue to give us faith. He's going to continue to work. You're in a time of testing. Don't you quit. And watch. God is going to do something supernatural in the people of God, at Grace Assembly of God. Put your hands together if you believe that. Amen. Amen. Now, we're supposed to do a going higher update, and we just picked a bad day. Same thing happened in the first service. Ran out of time. So here's what we're going to do. There's a reception in the room next to you, and Jim is going to make an important announcement about the renovations that we're going to start doing, and so you'll want to hear about that. And so our ushers are going to stand at the back doors and take your going higher commitments. Just act like you've been all encouraged and blessed about the future of our church and the building, but thank you very much. That's good preaching. And give something. If you brought your envelopes, give to the Lord and thank you for doing it. Join with us next door for a few moments for some refreshments. And Jim's going to give you an update. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.